This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Workplaces and bus stations, living rooms and coffee shops, schools and senior centers. No matter where you go, people are still talking about this election. 136 million Americans voted, smashing all previous records. We've got three big thinkers ready to tell us who they voted for, why, and what they think the impact of the election will be in the future. First, political commentator and writer Lenny McAllister. He blogs for sites including Hip Hop Republican and AOL Black Voices. Mark Lamont Hill teaches urban education and American studies at Temple University. He's also a political contributor at Fox News. And Gustavo Arellano writes for the nationally syndicated Ask a Mexican column for the Orange County Weekly. He's also the author of the new book, Orange County, A Personal History. Hi, folks.
Hola.
Yeah, ¿Cómo estás?
Bien, bien.
So let's start with a bit of President-elect Obama's acceptance speech on Tuesday.
And to those Americans whose support I have yet to earn. I may not have won your vote tonight, but I hear your voices. I need your help, and I will be your president, too.
All right, Lenny, you voted for Senator McCain. Do you feel included by a statement like that? Like, I'm your president, too. Does that resonate for you?
It resonates for me. I don't know if it will resonate for all of the 57 million that voted for Senator John McCain and Governor Sarah Palin. But for me personally, yes, it does, because I see President-elect Obama as being the type of individual that can bring people together. I mean, that's the reason why he was elected in this historic election. It's because he was able to bring different types of people together and create a new paradigm. And if he's able to continue that pattern, he should be able to be an inclusive president for at least 4 years.
Now, what does he need to do? I mean, we did hear a very gracious acceptance speech by concession speech by Senator McCain, but we also heard boos from the crowd. So as you mentioned, you've got one perspective on this. Let's say that you were not just a diehard McCain voter, but a diehard Palin voter who was a social conservative and really believed that Barack Obama is not going to lead the country down the right path. What do you think the Senator Obama can do to reach someone? You know, frankly, we've gotten emails saying, look, you know, we folks with the guns out in the country are watching. I mean, that's an email that we literally got on our show that was very angry about what it perceived as anti-white sentiment. I guess that's what I'm getting at, is that there seems to be a conflation among some people that this election was an anti-white move. How can you even deal with that?
That, unfortunately, is part of what America is all about, is people have the right to think what they want. I think what a president-elect Obama can do as a sign of good faith and good stewardship and in leadership is build a team that will appeal to all of America and do the best that he can with that. I on the way down here to the studio, I heard that Colin Powell has been possibly considered for a cabinet position. And being able to reach across the aisle to fill his core team will be a symbol of trying to go towards the postpartisanship that he's been talking to. Unfortunately, because he is the first African-American president, we're going to have these fears. We're going to have these harsh realities. I mean, he's still the 99th most liberal or most liberal leaning, second most liberal leaning senator in the U.S. Senate right now. And there are a lot of people that still take offense to that. There's still the urban legends of him being a Muslim and his background and all those type of questions and some of his affiliations. You know, that stuff's been said for months. That's not going to go away just because he won on Tuesday night. So that's still resonating with people. As he marches forward through November, December, the inauguration, his first 90 days, he can chip away at those images if he builds that type of bipartisanship that reaches across the aisle and appeals to a broad base of America.
Gustavo, your column is just a cultural touchstone and really infuses a sense of humor into, of course, what are the serious debates over race, ethnicity, culture, immigration, all those things. Mm-hmm. So when you see what has happened with the Latino vote during the election, how the polls moved from having a real split of support to now what we see from exit polls looking like 2/3 of Latino voters cast ballots for Senator Obama, and of course that the Latino community is so diverse in every way, can you make any kind of rather perhaps than summing things up, what stands out to you about...
What stands out to me is just how stupid the general thought was about Latinos not ever voting for a black man because they're supposedly racist, specifically my ethnicity, Mexicans. That was something that you heard during the Democratic primary. There was the pundits were wondering, geez, why are so many Mexicans and Latinos voting for Hillary Clinton to 2/3? Does this mean they're actually racist? No, of course not. I predicted then, and I, you know, and my prediction came true, that the majority of Latinos were going to vote for Barack Obama, and more specifically in this case, the overwhelming majority, 2/3, not so much based out of ethnicity, but and not even so much based out of politics, but really a repudiation of what the Republican Party signifies nowadays to Latinos, which is a party of know-nothings. I feel sad for John McCain, because John McCain, when it came to the issue of immigration, he was a man, actually he spoke more than Barack Obama about immigration, calling illegal immigrants God's children. And that, you know, that would have been a message that resonated with Latinos, except that most of the people in McCain's party despised him for being so generous to illegal immigrants. So most of the people who did vote for Obama, again, they might have liked Obama, but really it was a repudiation, even if they're conservative, it was a repudiation of the Republican Party's tactics over the past couple of years.
You know, we have been discussing a lot on the show whether or not some black voters have unrealistic expectations of what this president-elect can do for them. What do you think, just based on, you know, folks that you've talked to, whether it's people you've talked to in a professional capacity or you're just your friends and family, do you think people that you know or in Latino communities that you've been to recently have some big expectations that might come around and cause big disappointments?
Oh, absolutely. That's going to be the issue of amnesty for the 12 million or so illegal immigrants, about 50 to 60%, which are Latino. There is an expectation amongst most Latinos that a Democrat in the office, in this case specifically Obama, would lead the charge on amnesty. And most likely, Barack will probably lead some type of amnesty, although he's going to face staunch opposition from the Republican Party and even some members of his own party. So I don't know what's going to be the ultimate bill that he's going to propose, but unless it's going to be full, unlimited amnesty for everyone, I think it will disappoint a lot of people. And I also think such a position, though, is unrealistic for people to expect that the president of the United States is just going to grant a limited amnesty to anybody who came in here. It's just not going to happen, I don't think.
It's a rock and a hard place
yeah.
situation. Mark, let me turn to you. Who did you vote for and why?
I held my nose in the voting booth and pulled Obama's button. You know, I struggled with it for a very long time. As someone who identifies as a hardcore leftist, I just found it difficult to support Barack Obama, particularly in the primary, because there are people like Dennis Kucinich and even John Edwards, who I thought had more progressive agendas. But what it came down to it for me was on November 4th, you know, practically, particularly being in a battleground state of Pennsylvania, did I want to see John McCain as president? And the answer was no. I thought about Supreme Court appointments. I thought about women's rights. And I felt sort of I felt like I'd be driven by self-interest if I were to make an ideological point by voting against Barack Obama when there are people on the ground whose lives would be adversely affected by a McCain administration. So ultimately, it was a pragmatic choice. It was driven more out of practicality than any type of genuine support for Barack Obama, although I think he'll be just fine as president. I have some serious doubts.
You know, it sounds like you are one of the people who sees him as a centrist who cannot fulfill a liberal or progressive agenda. But I guess in general, you as someone who's a political scientist who's working in the worlds of academia and media, all, you know, these cross sections doing things for Fox as well. When you think about the options that people who are truly on the left have, what are they? Who represents people who are further left than the sort of blue dog Democrats?
Right. Well, on the national scene, there aren't very many options. You know, in the primary before the scandals, I mean, John Edwards was a viable presidential candidate who would have had a much more broad plan for the poor, who had a much better housing plan, a much better health care plan, I think. I was a Dennis Kucinich supporter, knowing obviously that Dennis wasn't going to win, but trying to make a point to get certain issues on the table. But in terms of practically electing someone, I think there are always options that are slightly to the left, but we don't have many options. But part of the problem, I believe, is that because we concede the fact that there aren't many options, and so we automatically vote for the centrist, thinking that they quote-unquote have our best chance to win. And we did the same thing with Bill Clinton. We're beginning to do it now with Barack Obama. And ultimately, our agenda never gets fulfilled. I think we need to focus on local elections. I think we need to focus on statewide elections, where I think we have a lot more latitude in terms of electing progressive candidates. But I think we need to start chipping away on the national scene and start dragging these people back toward the left. And I think we can do that with Barack Obama. If nothing else, he'll govern practically as well as sort of by his own ideology.
If you're tuning in midway during this conversation, just want to remind you, you're listening to NPR's News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. We were just hearing from Mark Lamont Hill, who teaches urban education and American studies at Temple University. We also have Gustavo Arellano, who writes the nationally syndicated Ask a Mexican column for the Orange County Weekly, and political commentator and writer Lenny McAllister. Gustavo and Lenny, just briefly, each of you, when you think about this whole idea of where the pendulum is going to swing politically, where do you think it's going to go? Is it going to sort of the plumb line fall dead center and there not be a lot of room for liberals or conservatives to really have a say? Or are we going to see some movements and coalitions and actions that could bring different political voices into the mix?
I think it is going to be a left-of-center coalition, as you put it. Barack Obama does come from a more progressive point of view than other Democrats in his party. The fact that he has people, he's one of the most liberal members in Congress, that's just not a fabrication. That's based on his own records. But at the same time, I do believe Obama when he says he does want to reach across the aisle, the fact that he is looking to bring in Colin Powell and others, and the fact is that he wants to bring in the people most qualified for a particular job. And I don't think he's such a partisan to ideology that he's going to stick only to those who view his worldview. He's going to try to put people in who are going to make this country better, as opposed to remake this country in a particular ideology.
Lenny, what about you? Do you think what about the pendulum swing?
I think it's going to go center left, and I think the interesting thing is, President-elect Obama is not going to be able to be that effective if he goes too far left. But the more direction and the further he'll go left will be dependent on these new voters, how they push their representatives, and then what kind of farm teams come up in the local and state elections starting in 2009 and in 2010. If he, in essence, creates a new type of Democratic politicians and they start winning at the local and state levels, he's going to be able to continue to move left. And while they have the majority in the Congress and have him in the White House for 2 out of 4 years, 2009 and 2010, they'll be able to move further left. And I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, some of the fears of these really hardcore conservatives. Some of it is just flat-out racism, but some of it is the fear that he'll go too far left. So it'll be interesting to see not only what he does with his cabinet in the first 90 days, but who he inspires to run and subsequently win in the less publicized but more important local and state elections that will come up over the next 2 years before we start talking about congressional and senatorial races again.
Mark, I went to a meeting when I was doing some reporting for a book about, I guess the meeting was about 5 years ago, because I wanted to see what the Green Party was doing in Oakland, California. And so it was very interesting to see the cross-section of people who even came to the meeting. And then, you know, there was a woman who stood up. They were talking about specific initiatives around crime. And a woman stood up and said, look, it was about mandatory minimum. She says, look, you guys are great. You're nice. I don't care. My kids need to be protected from drugs, and I'm pro-mandatory minimum, and I totally get that you guys are saying this affects kids of color, but as someone who lives down the street in the hood, I am not about, you know, decreasing, you know, criminal penalties. I thought it was a very interesting discussion among people in an African-American community from different political perspectives who may agree on some things but not the others. Do you think there's going to be an opening up of the debate within African-American communities about what people's priorities are politically, not just who the candidates are?
Oh, God, I hope so. You know, my biggest fear, though, is that over the last 21 months, we've developed a cult of personality that will now sort of die down now that Barack Obama's been elected, and it may reignite 4 years from now. And so of sorts, as I think Adolf Rita said, we've had more of a fan club than a political movement. If that is, in fact, the case, the type of conversations that you're talking about won't really exist or they won't really expand. But in the best of cases, this new political coalition that he's brought together, not just across race and class, but also across generation will occur. And we can have these conversations so that we could be inside of the back of some church saying, look, increasing mandatory minimums, increasing arrests doesn't decrease crime. And if we have that type of political education as well as a conversation about our priorities politically, I think then we can grow. But I think that requires leadership to intervene in these conversations in such a way that we realize that our work wasn't done on November 4th, but it started on November 5th. I'm not optimistic, but I am hopeful that it could happen.
Gustavo, a local issue that is also a national issue, Proposition 8 in California, which concerned whether or not California should uphold existing laws that make marriages among gays and lesbians legal. There was a rally in West Hollywood last night, and someone I know who was there said, look, there's a lot of resentment against people of color because it's the perception that blacks and Latinos are the ones who actually, you know, tipped this over. What about that kind of political tension?
In a way, it's true. In a way, it's ridiculous, because really the people who tipped it over were religious conservatives, and that involves not just blacks and Latinos, but also whites and other ethnicities as well. And I think some of the resentment, if you're going to have a racial resentment, it's because, well, blacks and Latinos tend to be more, at least their religions tend to be more prevalent in their day-to-day life than, say, in the day-to-day life of regular white Americans. I feel horrible, actually. The Latinos voted, I don't know the exact percentage, but Latinos voted majority for the passage of Proposition A. And I think it's unfortunate, especially at a time where Latinos are becoming the power structure in California and are increasingly becoming one of the majorities there, that one of their first acts as being able to flex their political muscle is to deny a minority their civil rights. That's unfortunate.
All right, guys. Well, it was great talking to all of you, and I'm sure we'll do it again.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
We were speaking with Gustavo Arellano. He writes the nationally syndicated Ask a Mexican column for the Orange County Weekly, and he's also author of the new book, Orange County, A Personal History. We had political commentator and writer Lenny McAllister. He blogs for sites including Hip Hop Republican and AOL Black Voices, came to us from WFAE in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Mark Lamont Hill, who is at Temple University and a political contributor for Fox News and a blogger at The Root. His forthcoming book is called Beats, Rhymes, and Classroom Life, Hip-Hop Pedagogy and the Politics of Identity. He was at Audio Post Studios in Philadelphia.